There's one question I wish I heard more. I just heard this question recently, and it was great to hear from this person, and one of the reasons that made me put this Order My Steps together. But it is a question that should be asked by all of us, more and more, unless we are convinced, unless we are sure, okay? And I think where we mess up is I think we think we are. I think we have everything together because we said a few words and because somebody convinced us, because we're in an organization that it assures me. But am I assured? And you may be asking, assured of what? Well, the question I'm asking is, how do I know I am a Christian? How do I know that? I went through life, and I've had that, where I watch people which just convince other people to make them feel better. I heard sermons in which made people say, well, you're here, and you said these few words, and now you're a Christian. I've had people where they've gone on stage, and they've had what was called altar call, and people would come up, and they make you recite a prayer, and now you're saved. All of these were things in which made people think. But I finally got somebody that stopped and said, how do I know if I'm a Christian? Now, here's why it's so important. We should be aware that there are those that will think they are Christian and find out they are not when it's too late. The Bible shows us this. Matthew 7, 21 through 25, says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I told you the first time this hit me, I read it over and over again, and that was a young age. I was devastated. Because I was like, wait a minute. Because he's saying there are people that are going to be convinced they're Christians, and they're not. But then he gives the answer. He says, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, I heard a minister kind of just blow this off by saying, well, you came up and you recited this thing and life is good. And he's made people feel good. They did the will. But no. He shows a little later. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And what he's saying is some of the things that we're using to see if we're really Christians aren't the things we're supposed to be using. Do you get this? There are going to be things that you have Christians that are calling other people Christian, and they're not the measuring points that God said to use. Yeah, we ignore God and we do our own thing. But then he said in verse 23, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. That's going to be eternally devastating. And then he gives furthermore that answer to show what his Father's will is. That's why he says, therefore, in verse 24. He's saying, with that said, everyone, watch this, who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. So hearing the word doesn't just mean you go to church, you go to get what the word is saying. Understand it enough in order to live it. That's a Christian. And we're going to break down how you're going to see that, even more so evidence. He says, like a wise man who built his house on the rock. That person is showing my lifestyle is following Christ. Now, he gives us actual visual things that we can actually see in our lives to make sure we're Christians. Now, anybody, as we go through this and you realize, wait a minute, then I'm not a Christian from what I read, don't panic. It just means adjustment. Those who get it and are really Christians, adjustments will be made. Those who have pride and go, well, I'm not changing anything because I am a Christian, that's on you. And those who don't pay attention to it, once again, well, it's already said. Do you see where I'm going with this? I'm showing you exactly what the word says. So this is not Keith Smith's version of what a Christian is. First of all, understand this. Humans have identifiers. They're God-given identifiers, and they're called fruit. To tell whether we are Christians or not. Fruit is divinely set, so you can't have both. Look at what he says in Matthew 7, 15 through 20. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. And he says, verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. A lot of them, just from their teachings, And how they do things, you'll see the type of fruit that they have. And immediately you should know. Many still struggle with this, and we'll talk about that sometime in the future. But it's understanding. He says you'll recognize them by their fruit, which is saying Christians need to know and really have a handle on what fruit is. So he asked the question, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistle? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. Did you catch that? If you truly are a Christian, you will bear good fruit. That's something that's going to automatically happen. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. He says, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Okay? He says, a good tree, here's the failsafe, cannot bear bad fruit. And the bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, which is talking about hell. So then he ends it with, thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And if you want to know what the fruit is, go to Galatians 5. And 19 through 26 gives you the actual fruit. But if you read a little earlier in there, it gives you the bad fruit. They're called acts of the sinful nature. Plain and simple, if you watch people walk living by the standards and the foundations of this world, that's their fruit. You can't be both. Can't be what the world calls a good, you know, citizen, good person of the world, and be a Christian. They do not jive. You understand that? The fruit will stand out, but you got to know what the fruit is. Understand, whatever describes our life purpose will describe what we are and where we're going. He broke it down into two sections, and if you look close, it covers everything. In Romans 2, 6 through 9, it says, God will give to each person according to what he has done. Now, just reading that line, you may think, okay, he's talking about gifts here. No, this is the final thing that's going to happen to us and how we get it, okay? And it may seem like works play a part. I mean, works is the answer, but it's not. The works are going to show something else. I'm going to explain that in a little bit. Stay tuned. Verse 7 says, to those who, watch this, by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality. Now, understand what he's saying here. When he says persistence in doing good, you have some people that will start off doing what the Bible said. However, if the outcome, feeling, reward, whatever they think they're getting out of it, doesn't jive them, and you see them quit, this is not them. That persistence is so important. The person that you see, things still keep going wrong, still going in the wrong way, and you see them consistently doing what God says. And they do it, like I said, they'll do things to get his glory. You know what I mean? I don't want me to shine in me for me to feel good in me. No, I want his glory. And I don't care for other people's compliments and raising me up and how good I look to them. No, I want his honor. And I'm not living for things that temporarily that I may get a certain life that may give me a life that makes me comfortable and happy in the flesh. No, I want eternity. That's immortality. You see these three things and you'll see a person do it no matter the outcome because they know the final outcome. It says he will give eternal life. Did y'all see that? So this is not one of those, just one of those rewards. This is the ultimate reward. But then he says, but for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, plain and simple, self-seeking when I am the purpose. And you have too many people that became Christians for them as the purpose in the wrong way. If it's to save my life in the Lord, absolutely. But the person understands, so then I live for God. But you get too many that became Christians to live for self. You with me? I'm living for self, but I call myself a Christian. It doesn't jive. It doesn't work that way. Okay? He says, self-seeking, reject the truth, plain and simple. There are people that I could read, show you something in the Bible. They'll go amen. They'll say, okay, tomorrow they're still doing the same thing they were doing. What happened? Simply put, we should be checking our lives in God's word. And if it doesn't jive with God's word, we need to change it. It's as easy as that. What do? We check on how we feel. Or I've always been doing this. Oh, I don't see a problem with this. There's stuff in our lives specifically that we should stop and go, wait a minute, I've been doing this all my life, and the word says this, what the heck am I doing? But when I don't, I'm rejecting the truth. And when there's things in my life that I've been doing that if somebody said, hey, where did you get that from? And it's not from the Bible, and the foundation is not from the Bible, then I'm following evil. He says, there will be wrath and anger, which is hell. So you put these together. It shows that, okay, my works are going to do it? No. Make no mistakes. Works will not get us into heaven. So anybody who says, okay, I got to do this and this fruit thing I got to try to do, problem is you can read those. And if you try to do them on your own, you will fail. Why? Because it's called fruit of the Spirit. Okay? How do I get fruit of the Spirit? And like I said, that's a whole sermon in itself. But when I live for God, the fruit automatically comes out. How I deal with things is going to be based fully on the fruit. But works will not get us into heaven. Works for a Christian defines if we are Christians. When you see their works, and this is for those who are not confused, because too many people confuse nice person, worldly attributes that we compliment people on. We do it in the wrong way. Do you understand that? Where we give to people an honorary because they're a nice person mindset. Do you understand that? And we say, oh, they're a Christian. That's why I'm so confused. It shows you don't know fruit. It shows you don't understand God. Do you understand this? Okay. Don't be insulted. Just say, okay, well, then I need to understand God. I was burned by this because there were people I was like, I was sure he was a Christian. And so he went, so what definition were you going by, Keith? You see where I'm going with this? Okay. We have to recognize that because our works, if I understand what that is, define if we are Christians. Works do not provide the path to righteousness. It provides the evidence that we are righteous. Please understand that. Plays a major part. James 2 shows us that. Okay? If you don't get that, you're going to still be part of that, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, I never knew you. So let's look at the evidence that he's given us using the fruit, the purpose, understanding how the works are going to display what I really am. And this is for me, as well as others, to know if I'm truly a Christian. First of all, only those that obey Christ's commands are Christians. Now, a lot of times people get confused, and I just heard somebody on the website saying this one time, where they mistakenly thought obeying commands meant Ten Commandments. Please understand, the Ten Commandments, following them by yourself on their own, in the Old Testament, were me trying to do works to be righteous. It's not what he's talking about. Okay, please don't get that twisted. When he talks about commands, now we have the whole new set of instructions in the New Testament on how we're supposed to live. So when it speaks of commands in the New Testament, it's speaking of following what Christ tells us in the New Testament. Please get that. So it shows in 1 John, and just to let you know, if anybody has any question on it, we can do a study on that, because the Bible does show if I'm still trying to live by the Ten Commandments, then I have not accepted grace. You understand? However, Christians will fulfill the Ten Commandments. And that's something I can show you in the future again, but we've talked about this. But as we see in 1 John 2, 3 through 6, it says, watch this, we know we have come to know him if. So this is for me. How do I know I really am a Christian? He says, I know this if, what? We obey his commands. Now that takes two steps, getting his commands and doing his commands. If I become a Christian, but my work, I'm still too busy. I play that I really don't understand the Bible. I'm so tired today, I can't read the Bible. I got too much going on with my family, so the Bible sometimes is, you know, I'll get it in when I can. Or those who just read the Bible to say they read the Bible. Once again, they're showing they're not Christian. That eliminates a ton of people because I named the majority of people that are out there that go through the motions, want the title, but are not Christian. He just says, we know if we obey his commands. Many don't know. He tells us how to be husbands and wives. Are we doing that? He tells us how to raise our children. Are we doing that? He tells us what to do with our money. Are we doing that? These are his commands. New Testament shows us all of these things. How do I deal with my enemies? How do I deal with work? Am I doing that? Do I even know that? I am. I am a Christian. If I'm not, then I'm not. He makes clear in verse 4, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. Did you catch that? All right? What we say is meaningless. And you got a lot of people claiming to be Christian, and man, they'll be insulted if you said they were not. I want, if somebody ever told me I'm not, to show me why I'm not, to make sure that I really am. Do you understand that? And he shows us here, if I say I know him, but I'm watching you live this outside life out of what the Bible says, you're a liar. It says, and the truth is not in him. It says, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. Do you see? It's not obey my word to be righteous. It's this is how you know, by them obeying God's word. And then he ends it with something I think some people miss. I even heard a minister mistakenly say, we don't have to live as Jesus did because Jesus already lived that way. And that's not what the word says. He ends it with, this is how we know we are in him. Basically how we know we're Christians. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Now, to sum up how Jesus lived, if you looked at John 14, verse 31, where he says, and the world must understand that I love my Father and I do exactly what my Father tells me. That's what he means. We should be living with the mindset of what is he saying in order for me to do. Number one. The next one is doing what is right identifies us as Christian. Now, you're going to run into predicaments, and I'm going to show you this because I've heard people use some of the worst excuses. Back in the past, there were some things done. People have done it, and I hate to say it. They called themselves Christians, and they've done some horrendous things. But we'll say, oh, it's because of the time. When slavery happened, the people who participated in it, they're going to have to answer to God, plain and simple. And God's not going to say, oh, it's about the time. Yes, there was slavery in the Bible, and God showed how that worked. And none of the slavery we've seen in the times, none of the things you saw in the Holocaust in the times is going to fit it was during the times. In fact, if I still followed what was wrong and use that as an excuse, I'm still doomed. And it puts my Christianity into question. Let me give you an example of doing right before I explain what he says here about doing right. There was a time, once again, in a neighborhood, middle class, they did all they can, they were hard workers, so on and so forth, and one of their best investments at the time was their homes. So they knew my home had to keep its value in order for me to make the money for retirement, for my kids, and all this other stuff. Unfortunately, during this time, the people lived in a do not right atmosphere. A black family wanted to move into this neighborhood. So the rest of the neighborhood gathered together and said, hey, this is our investment. If they move in, it's going to mess up our investment. We got to do something to keep them out. A bunch of people called themselves Christians, but they were very comfortable and this was their investment. One person said, how can I call myself Christian and do that to these human beings? He's basically saying, I need you to show me in the Bible, how can I justify this? Catch that. And of course, nobody could. They still fought it because they were people that were just claiming to be Christians. Do you see what I'm saying? He stood firm. People hated him. People were mad at him. He ended up having to sell his house and moving out. The whole key to it was he did what was right. He was the Christian out of the majority that said they were Christian. So it shows in 1 John 3:10, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. There's only two. There is no in the middle. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is what makes me put into question everybody in politics. Because even though there may be some things you can pull out of it to say that was right, how about all the other things that are not? And we make up excuse. Well, you got to pick the lesser of two evils. Well, everybody's not going to be perfect, right? We give them an excuse not to do what is right. And he just said, those who do not do what is right is not a child of God. If you let your money, you let your family, you let your feelings, you let your politics, you let how you see things make you do something other than what God says is right, you're not a Christian. Loving, which is an action, all others in Christ. Now, I'm going to show you how Christians get trapped in this. Let's read this verse, and I'll show you how Christians find comfort in a falsehood. 1 John 4, 20-21 says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Did y'all catch that? Says, I love God, yet hates his brother. Now, you have some. Here's the thing where people have falsely been storing themselves. The brothers that they love, they love. So there's a group of Christians, and they have cliques or factions. That's an act of the sinful nature, right? And they're very close to that clique, not to other Christians. Catch this, right? That means they're hating other ones. And just because you say you don't hate him, no. Your actions show if you hate or you love. 1 Corinthians 13 shows us that. It says, for anyone who does not love his brother from whom he has seen cannot love God. He basically saying it's impossible because the way we love God is by loving others. We're going to see that. Whom he has not seen. How can he not love somebody who he has seen and love God who he has not seen? And it says, he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's every Christian, no matter race, no matter location, no matter financial status, no matter what they may have done to me. I don't care what they are. I must show love. And you got a lot of people that tolerate, and they're tolerating out of hate, not loving. Better check yourself, because that little toleration for your little comfort could doom you for an eternity of pain. Looking out for those in need and displaying true godly love defines our Christianity, believe it or not. Now look how he says this in 1 John 3:16-20. This is how we know what love is. Okay, this is Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And I think a lot of people only look at the extreme case of, if I got into a situation, would I die for my brother? And people would clearly say it. And this is why Jesus did what he did with Abraham. You understand that? Of course, Abraham said, I'll do whatever I need to. It's when he said, okay, go kill your son. Do y'all get this? The significance and how that was put out there. He says in verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need. So this is something that they didn't say anything to. You're seeing his situation, but has no pity on him. How can the love of God be in him? It's not for me to wait for them to ask, because a lot of people have pride and a lot of people know they're going to be rejected. It's for me to recognize they may be struggling with something. Doesn't mean I just give them some money. Doesn't mean I just give them some food. At times, yes. But there's going to be other times where I have to go, what can I do to help you get back up on your feet? Will it be inconvenient? Absolutely. Will it take me out of my pattern and my post? Yes. But that's love. He says, how can the love of God be in them if you have no pity on them? You're seeing them go through something and you go, ah, well, which many of us do. Do y'all understand this? He says, dear children, watch this. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. What he's telling us to love in, and don't be that person that just goes, I love you, brother. I love you too. That's nice. But he says, show it in what you do and make sure what you do is in line with God. That's why it says action and in truth. Because some people show love in a very wrong way. Right? How they show love is not based on God, so they're not loving. Keep that in mind. I've seen people do things in which they think in their help and they're making matters worse because they didn't check with God. It was their own emotional impulse to make them do the action that they did, and they did not love. Please know that. And just because you meant well doesn't fix it. We can't be that careless. Verse 19 says, this then is how we know what we belong, that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. In other words, I know I'm always looking out for my brother. That's what I got to make sure. Whenever our hearts condemn us, because at times we're going to feel that's going to happen. That's what he means when our hearts condemn us. He says, for God is greater than our hearts. Our purpose at times is going to come into a play, which, Keith, you're not being the Christian you need to. And I have this evidence, which he just told me. What do you make sure you look out for your brother? And says, absolutely. Are you one of the first to go, I know you're falling on a hard time. What can we do to help? Get too many that look at their budget too quick, that look at their situation too quick, that doesn't want to be inconvenienced until it happens to them. I've been on both ends of that. But only Christians will look out for other Christians. We'll look out for everybody. Our lifestyle will define what we are, believe it or not. Our lifestyle. It shows in 1 John 1:6-7, if we claim, there we go saying it, to have fellowship with him, that means we're saying we're Christian, yet walk in darkness. Now, this is another one of those things that I got to know the difference. I went to a school when I was in college, and I remember during the time jeans changed. They had stonewashed, and they had these other two-tone jeans. So I got another pair of jeans. I liked them, and that's what we got. But when I went back to college, there was a group that I did hang with, and they were called the church group. Nobody really liked them because they were very strict, and they would run down the street screaming in tongues, and it was just stuff that they would do. Here's the problem, because I asked them this. When they surrounded me, it was like an intervention of, Keith, you're changing. What is going on? Blah, blah, blah. And I remember my question to them is, so where does it say in the Bible that my clothing is wrong or worldly? What is your definition of worldly? That was one of the first times it kind of hit me. Of what is going on? Where are we getting our answers? People say you play cards, if you watch TV, if you do this, that. How do I know Do you understand this? Now, when the Bible talks about carousing, that's when people go clubbing and partying and stuff like that to self-indulge self. Now, then I know, okay, that's worldly. That's something I got to really be careful of. Do you understand that? All right. I have to know the difference of when it's something I don't like and when it's something that God says is wrong. This is so necessary. Please know that. Don't let these people define this. Let the Bible do it. It says, if we claim that fellowship yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. I got to know what the difference is. That's what the Bible shows me. He says, for if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, I put that in bold in caps because it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. I got to make sure what that means because my version of walking in the light. Okay. And I'm going to show you the next one we're getting ready to go over. It's going to be what some people think. But if my version of walking in the light is my version, but it's not as he walked in the light, then I'm not walking in the light. But it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. Do y'all see how this process works? I have to live as a Christian. And Christ will take care of all the other junk. But if I choose not to, then I'm not. Here's an example of something that we do, and sometimes we even honorarily badge people as Christians, which is actually the opposite when we do this. It says when our relationship with the world, it will define our relationship with God, believe it or not. This is one of two major verses that shows us. We have other verses that we can combine with how we're supposed to be in the world. But 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. And he makes very clear, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we got patriots. We got people that are so loyal to a heritage, to a country. So it doesn't even just mean my country. It can mean the country I think I came from. You know what I mean? So to have quote unquote black pride or to have American loyalty and pride, all of this is loving the world, which is saying I'm not a Christian. Now, if we stand back, you even have some churches that'll take people just because they're in the army, just because they are. And you know, I pray for them because they're putting their lives in line for a place. And is it what God wants them to do? Some of them are going to have to kill outside of God. Do we get this? Do you understand how this works? But still today, you have people that loyalty means more to them than the love of Christ. Do y'all get this? So now, I gave you a ton of evidence that the Bible itself said that we use to know if we're Christians or not. All right, here's our part in making sure we have truly accepted Christ. Okay, if you want and you're still struggling with it, this is what you must do. Okay, first of all, I encourage you to let you know that God provides us with all we need to be a Christian, along with instructions on how to be a Christian. He says in 2 Peter 1:3-11, and I encourage you to read this. I'm not going to read that whole entire thing. That's a whole sermon in itself, once again. And what that is showing us, that what he provides us in order for us to be a Christian. In fact, we're in the mode that we have everything we need. We see everything we need. We just need to do it. And he even shows us the recipe of how to do it, the order it needs to be done, the amount of it that needs to be done. And if you go to verse 10 of it, it says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. I remember when I've done that sermon, you should see people going out of their way to follow that recipe. I can't say I have. People kept going on the path that they were going on thinking, yes, I'm being Christian. And he let us know, for if you do these things, you will never fall. Go back and read that and see what those things are. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful message that shows us step by step on how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to apply this Christian walk. I encourage you to read that. Secondly, we must deny self and totally follow God. This has been something that we read and nobody does, and I'll show you how. First, let's read it. Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He didn't say it's a good idea to. He really should. No, he said he must, which he's stating this is a requirement. Do you understand that? To do what? Deny himself. Why does he say that? Because you're going to have desires. They're going to go against what God says. He's already warning against this. He's saying, I'm going to give you the power to do this. You still have to have the will to do this. You got to do it. Right? So I have to not do what I want, but always do what he says. When he says, take up his cross and follow me, then I take up my life with his troubles and his struggles and do what he says. He's going to put us in multiple predicaments. And what am I doing it for is the question that's going to come up. So, Keith, what was your next move? Why did you do it? The only right answer is because his word says. And he makes clear to let you understand whoever wants to save his life will lose it. So when I'm living for what I think is the best outcome, then go ahead and live your life. Forget the whole Christian thing. You're wasting your time and you're wasting God's time. He says, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. So he's not talking to somebody who's living with no, you know, no pattern, no everything. He's saying when I purposely only live for what Christ says, which means I'm going to miss out on things. I'm not going to get the accolades that I want. I'm not going to always get things that are desirable, but I'm doing what he says, then I'll find it. And he asked the question, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world? Which you got a lot of these rich people who have done everything. They traveled the world and they're going to die and eternally go to hell. Do you want that? Is this enjoyment down here worth that? That's what he says, yet forfeits his soul, which many are doing. Don't always envy those that look like life is going very well, because they may be stuck in something that is fooling them or that they are allowing to fool them. That everything's great and they take God for granted. And he asks again, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Thirdly, make sure you are 100% biblically led. Now, I have to stress this because Titus 1, 15 through 16 is another one of those that really hit me, let me understand, where it said, to the pure, all things are pure. What does that mean? I only give what the Bible says. You understand? The Spirit guides me with biblical foundation. This is the word of God. This is what we have. Okay? He says, but those who are corrupted. Now, what does that mean? You're going to have those people that are going to give you Bible and, or they're going to give you the Bible without. What do I mean? They're going to give you the Bible, and then you're going to hear some other things they added to the Bible that you should do or almost as. I told you I grew up in a thing to where how we dressed was almost considered as holy as what everything else the Bible said until I asked that question. Do you understand that? And they made it almost adamant of you have to dress with a suit and the women must dress in this way. And we really just was, I don't care if you didn't have money or not, that's what you did to show your loyalty to God. Until I went, so what verse is that in? No verse. Didn't exist. And you still got people today that are more dedicated to that than the things of God because they're corrupted. And he says to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. Because they're with some biblical with some added doses to it. And that's why they're confused on what a Christian is and what is not. When I'm pure, everything you better show me in the Bible. He says, in fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. You understand that? When you have other stuff or when you take away from the Bible, I know the Bible says this. People go to church and they'll see a woman pastor and they'll just go by, past it instead of going, we need to sit down and biblically talk about this. Every time I've heard people talk about it, it's emotionally or structurally or how it seems to me. Talk about it. He covered it up with they claim to know God. So they say it, but by their actions, they deny him. There's that fruit. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for doing anything good. That is severe. Make sure it's 100% from the Bible. Okay? Still seeing people today, even in my own church at times, doing stuff that have added elements in there. You're like, where did you get this from? So that's something you should do with your prayer partner, with others in church, or ask somebody. Let's go over this. These extra things I'm doing in my life, where are they biblically? If they're under disputable matters, then it's still biblical. But we got to recognize when that is. This is the major one, of course. Faith is what we must live by. This is another thing that we have to understand what true faith is. We have to understand what that is. You understand that? It will not work unless we understand what true faith is. Hebrews 10, 37 through 39 says, for in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Watch this. But my righteous one will live by faith. He's basically saying, these are mine. These are the ones that I'm going to know I know that are going to say, Lord, Lord, because they live by faith. In a simple way, faith is me doing what he says. It fits in every aspect, and I'm accepting what he does. That's faith. But he says, if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. What does it mean to shrink back? It's when my life changes from faith to some other form, which many have done. I used to do that, but I stopped doing it and this started working for me. You watch people readjust their lives. They go back to drinking, go back to sleeping around. They go back to dealing with their family their way. They deal with work because success has come in their way. They become complacent. All these things, that's what shrinking back is. He says, but we are not of those, watch this, who shrink back and are destroyed. If I shrink back, which is backsliding, I'm doomed. But of those who believe and are saved. When a person believes, we live in a setting that I keep living for God, even when it doesn't seem to work out. Even when things don't go my way and I see others who are not doing it, it goes their way. Are we getting this? It all comes down to our purpose. We must make our entire life purpose Christ. Please don't be that person that have little moments of God. No, no, no. Make this be your entire thing, because when it comes down to it, God has given us this warning. He has given us this thing for our Christianity. He says in Galatians 6, 7 through 8, do not be deceived. And this is where many are falling into place, because I'll put you through an event and I'll make you feel good about that event. And then you're feeling all holy and whatever, and you're not. Why aren't you not? Because look what he says, Galatians 6, 7 through 8, he says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. So even though I was deceived and thinking, man, that Christian thing I did is the Christian thing I did and it works. No, it says God cannot be mocked. And he said, a man reaps what he sows. And this is the entire package. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. So what did you do that for? Because I wanted to, because it felt good, because it seemed good. I had no problem with it. It made me happy. It made my family. All of this is what he's talking about. He says destruction. He gave you the warning. What was your reason for doing what you did? And if it was the right reason, he says, the one who sows to please the Spirit. That means God. That means you searched the Bible before you did it. Even if your family, even if yourself and everything said, I didn't like that, you'll do it again. Why? Because God said so. That's to please the Spirit. Are y'all seeing this? Do y'all see how this comes together? This is a question we all must ask. And I'm stressing this because there's too many people who are living and just convinced in their own selves, or they have faith in their own selves that they are Christians. And they're just living that path and they haven't questioned. And some of them haven't questioned because they're scared of the answer. You need to be more scared of the answer not being given to you, not making the change. Those who are foolish enough not to do that, I don't know what else to say. Those who get it, get it. We're here because of what he has done for us. Don't let the world or some misleading ministry tell you otherwise. Go through the scripture, check it, and make sure you're in line with God. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we thank you, first of all, for this salvation that you have offered us. We thank you so much for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, dear God, because you have just provided so much for us in our lives. We ask you to help us not to take you for granted and just to live in a way that faith is our sight. It's very easy for us to be distracted by the world, by our emotions, by our desires, but we want to be fully led by what you say. It's very easy for us to go in the wrong path and walk in the wrong way. Help us to encourage one another in your word, not in their emotions or feelings to make them feel good about their Christianity, but in their spirit to make them know they are yours. We thank you so much for all that you do and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.